There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I met John Tesh several days ago. So
how long are you gonna dine out on this shit?
Truly one
Jesus
of the
fucking Christ.
Peaks of my time. Yeah. You know?
And without telling it, still not telling us where you met John Tesh. You just said a mall-like place.
I can't have people find me where I frequent.
Yeah.
You know how I frequent places and I can't be mobbed where I go. I don't want to be mogged. I don't want to be place mogged.
Yeah, you know? Place mogged.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you where you can find me. Jersey Mike's.
Yeah,
that's
buddy.
Where I am. If you know I'm in town and there's a Jersey Mike's close by, you know I'm getting that fucking meat slice.
But when I heard John Tesh's colostomy bag a jingle jangling, I knew, oh, wait a second, what month is it? Oh, shit. It's time for March Madness.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, ladies and gentlemen. This is the fifth annual last podcast on the left, March Madness of murder and mayhem. My name is Marcus Barks. I'm here with my main man, Henry Zabrowski.
My name is John Tesh. People used to respect me, but now I'm a figure of humiliation.
And we have the man on color commentary, Ed Larson, across the table. How you doing, Ed?
Shakalaka, can't buy a bucket because I've invested poorly.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have any liquid. He's not liquid right now.
You put a lot of money into grocery stores.
Yeah, I did, actually. I did. Shout out to Sprouts. Every time you shop at Sprouts, no, I'm getting money.
Yeah. Also, is anybody looking to buy some barrels of crude? Because I do have three or four of them, and it's really been difficult getting rid of them.
Yeah, yeah. Man, all I know is them hormones. Those are straight.
We're here at the fifth annual last podcast on the left, March Madness of Murder and Mayhem, and we're doing it a little different this year, just a little bit.
We got to mix it up, and so we've added rotating biomes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And not just that, another aspect is different this year.
Groups.
That's right.
We're doing teams this time. Yeah, the rotating biomes, we usually hold this in Madison Square Garden. This year, it is held in a rotating biome. So when each seed is chosen, after we find each matchup, we're going to be rolling an 8-sided die for each individual biome. And then at the end of each match, there will be a coin toss to see which biome the next group will fight in.
Nice. And I brought a 20-sided die, and I'll be rolling it for nothing.
Yeah, and honestly, just getting him used to dice. Because he's been scared of dice ever since his father's crippling gambling problem. Yeah. And so he has been afraid of dice. And the thing is, we got to get through the dice problem, which is why you are, I would say, hesitant about RPGs. Yeah. Because this is about you afraid of dice.
I swallowed two this morning. I think I'm feeling great.
Oh, the CBD ones I said?
But we are going to do it as we usually do it, by picking names out of the hat. So do we want to go first and choose the entire Eastern bracket?
I think so.
All right. So let's see the first lineup in the Eastern bracket.
God, Mr. Tesh, you got short and fast.
Someone please kill me. No one will let me die. Every time I'm recognized, I live another 3 weeks.
So our first competitor will be the Montauk Time Boys, led by former President Barack Obama, who,
yes,
of course, as we know, yes, was a Montauk Time Boy himself,
yes,
who traveled back and forth to Mars as a teenager prior to converting from Islam.
No, that was when he was first looking at
what is Kenya's religion? I forgot what Kenya's religion is.
Yeah, I remember, but we know Barack Obama was a 14-year-old I would say it's chrononaut.
Chrononaut,
and
yeah.
So he, we know that he's a part of there, and we know that what he loves is he loves drones, he loves cigarettes, and he loves basketball in his backyard.
And time!
Loves time, so it's going to be the Montauk Boys versus Let's Get This Hat Just a Little Bit. It is a handful of chuds.
Man, that's going to be a hell of a fight because the chuds are, they're just on the Long Island Railroad down the street.
Yeah. And there are certain biomes that will give certain groups advantages.
Of course, because each biome is based upon, for the most part, a classic environment that you would find one of our heroes today. And this is going to be good because I'm, because also a handful. That is the actual official term for a group of chuds.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's five, right?
Yes,
it's
a handful? Exactly.
Yeah, a handful is five. Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank God.
Exactly.
Five.
Five. Handful.
All right, the next
one. Several
chuds? Are we picking the biomes now or later?
Later.
Okay,
we
soon.
Because we have to get the full bracket first, and then the fights will begin.
Sorry I didn't pay attention in the pre-meeting.
It's fine.
We did have a pre-meeting.
We did not discuss this part.
But not this very, but we did discuss other things.
Yes, we did. All right.
I rolled a five.
Someone shoot me in the head.
Next line up, the next battle will be, Reinhard Heydrich and four Einsatzgruppen at the end of a Soviet winter.
So they're tired.
They're tired. But
they're mean.
They're angry as well because they know they're not going home after the war.
Yeah.
So it comes down to it. They got no place to go. They got nothing to lose. Whoever they're up against are Einsatzgruppen. They're going to have a heck of a little challenge, aren't they?
Yeah. And they might have a friendship day on top of it.
Yeah, they just might.
They very well just might.
They just might. And it's at the end of the Soviet winter, so we figured like five Einsatzgruppen like at full power. Too much. So they're low on ammunition. They're starving, but they are still Einsatzgruppen.
And everybody's a Jew that they see.
Yes. Also, I want to say that the end of a Soviet winter is March.
Indeed it is.
Yeah, actually, probably so it's like just June. Accurate. We didn't even have to say the end of a Soviet winter because it is March.
I thought a Soviet winter like ends in June and then like summer ends in July.
Well, that's just their second winter.
When we say Soviet winter, we're talking like winter of 1942.
Yes.
Like,
the
coldest.
Yeah. The bad one.
Was it 42 or 43? I can't remember exactly, but the worst winter in the 1941.
January, General February.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, and fighting the Einsatzgruppen will be the starting defense of the 1985 Chicago Bears.
Yes. Oh, they are gonna love the shot.
Fucking Dickie Dent's gonna get in there, bro.
Wow.
Mike Singletary's gonna fucking take off his reading glasses and tackle the fuck out of Reinhard.
The 85 Bears. We gotta remember here, the 85 Bears, they're gonna have a lot of skin in this game because they're one thing that 85 Bears don't like, and that's Nazis.
Yeah, they hate them.
And remember, these groups are not necessarily matched one-to-one. So it's 11 guys versus five.
See?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So the next matchup will be... Ba-ba. Topsy the Elephant and his trainer, Whitey.
Okay.
Topsy and Whitey.
Yeah, Topsy and Whitey.
Whitey's hammered, but he's on top, and he barreled through a police station.
Hey, Whitey knows how to drunkenly ride an elephant best.
Yeah, and Topsy killed arguably five people.
And I would also say, I actually feel like Whitey, that might be too much for him to be loaded. He might need to be in search of some alcohol.
He's
shaking. He's got a shaky hand.
So it's Whitey with the shakes.
Whitey with the shakes.
All right, and fighting Topsy the Elephant and Whitey will be a pack of hungry wolves.
I'm honestly pleased about that. I'm pleased about that. These are natural enemies.
Drunken
animal handlers and a bunch of loose wolves.
Sober, alcoholic animal handlers who are on the lookout for their morning booze because the wife has taken the vodka out of the back of the toilet.
What are you going to do?
Damn wolves in the way of my vodka.
My wife keeps
keeps putting vodka back in the toilet, saying, John, drink a little more.
And our last matchup in the Eastern Conference is going to be, ooh, the Gremlins ripoffs team. That's one ghoulie, one critter, one munchie, and one troll.
Yes! That's just like, yes!
Yeah, and I mean, it will stand to see how this team works together.
Did we say it had to be five? Oh, no, it's Topsy and Whitey.
It's
so,
Topsy and Whitey versus Wolves.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So
that's
now
true.
We got the ripoff Gremlins versus?
Let's see here. It is, the Kentucky Vampires. With one real vampire.
Ooh, wow. That's actually going to help. That's really going to help.
Because I don't know how all these gremlin fucking copyright infringements are going to work. Yeah. Like, I don't know if they all can all be in one. I don't even remember the distinct abilities of a munchie, but we'll get there.
He parties.
Yeah, wow. And he eats.
Yeah.
It's a munchie.
Yeah, he parties and eats. Really, the ghoulie and the critter are going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting here.
Yeah. I think
so. But the thing is about a critter is that a critter is really only dangerous when there's a lot of critters.
What's just one critter going to do?
Well, he can shoot his needles. There are a fair amount of things that one critter can do, but we do know, I mean, a critter ball is optimal, but this critter will be going at it alone.
All right, so that's the Eastern Conference. Do we want to just roll through this side first?
I think we need to choose the Western.
Let's settle the bracket.
Yeah, let's settle the bracket completely. All right. The first lineup in the Western Conference is...
Yes! Come on.
80s hair metal mainstays, Poison.
Whoa! Poison.
And this is Poison just after Unskinny Bop. So it is Poison at the height of their popularity and powers.
I think that's the key, is that they do need to have pyro available. They need to have a lot of Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that's every glam rock band loves Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Right? And they like... What else do they like?
Roses
and spandex and hairspray.
Yeah, a lot of spandex
and roses and hairspray.
A ton of hairspray, and I think that hairspray might be important.
Okay, mm-hmm. It has to be. I think it's the only discernible weapon they might have.
Mm-hmm. Well, thorns on a rose.
Mm-hmm. And raw sexuality.
Oh, yes. Ooh. Real man sex.
That's what I like. God, I can't imagine what their spandex smelled like.
Don't discount, CeCe DeVille or Bret Michaels. In 1987?
Hey, when their back's against the wall and they know for a fact that they got to go to Santa Cruz to fuck 4 17-year-olds, you know that they want to make it through this bout.
So it's every rose has its thorn. That's not Rock You Like a Hurricane, right?
That's the Scorpions.
Yeah.
Poison is Unskinny Bop, Nothing But a Good Time.
Okay.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Talk Dirty to Me.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
So they have four pretty good songs.
Okay.
And Fighting Poison is... The Epstein Crew.
Oh, wow. That is going to be quite a matchup there.
And by the way, the Epstein Crew is Epstein with the power of the Mossad.
Yeah, he's got at least two Mossad snipers.
At least. Stephen Hawking with his modified wheelchair.
Yes. To drive through a school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Noam Chomsky. And his pen.
Much mightier than the sword.
Woody Allen with a clarinet.
That's right.
And Princess Andrew armed with acid sweat.
Yeah.
Don't touch him.
Formerly known as.
Man, what's interesting about Poison versus the Epstein Crew is they like to have sex with women the same age.
Yes, oh,
well,
they really,
we'll see. No,
I mean, that's actually, that's going to be a big...
They might just become friends. I never know.
There's a little part of me, though, that believes... That Poison might even like them a little even more mature than the Epstein Crew.
All right, the next matchup.
He wants them to at least have pubic hair.
Maybe.
I think I would put that with Bret Michaels. I put that on him. I saw Flavor of Love.
Sure. Yeah. I'd say they want him at least 17.
Yeah, oh yeah.
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 All right. Next matchup is, the Murdoch family.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that would be the Murdoch family armed and drunk.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
And you got Alec, got two Capri Suns, both of his fucking holsters, man. He is sugared up and ready to go.
Oh, are they Oxycontin'd up?
No, just drunk.
Just drunk. Okay.
Just
makes them sloppy.
So he's hankering for an Oxy.
No, he's sloppy. He doesn't want to get sloppy.
Yeah. Doesn't want to get too sloppy.
Do they have a boat?
They have access to a boat, depending on the realm.
Yeah, yes. Depending on the realm. Okay, yes, yes, right. They do have access to the boat, but mostly armed with AR-15s. Oh, wow. They really loved.
They got a lot of guns.
Yeah, they got a lot. They got a lot of guns, and I'm guessing it's just going to be Alec, Buster, and what's his
Paul.
Fuck?
Paul.
Paul. Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Paul's alive.
The mom ain't coming.
No, she's dead weight.
Yeah. How about we give him two dogs?
Yeah.
All right, a couple of dogs. Yeah, two dogs. Couple of bloodhounds. Sure, yeah. Two dogs.
Well, who are they up against?
Who they?
I'm excited about this.
Oh, yeah, now this is going to be a fun lineup. Let's see. They are up against two Frankensteins and Benedict Cumberbatch dressed as the Frankenstein.
Wow.
Because I don't know if anybody else saw... I don't know if anybody else saw Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller's COVID performance of Frankenstein.
But it is horrible.
It is
horrible.
No way.
Well, what they did is this was like a COVID event where one night one of them would, like, Johnny Lee Miller would play Frankenstein, and then the other night Benedict Cumberbatch would play Frankenstein's creature, the monster.
Uh-huh.
They'd switch back and forth. And this is how I found out that Johnny Lee Miller is a better actor than Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh,
because
yes.
When Benedict Cumberbatch was Frankenstein's monster, he chose to play it like Mango from Saturday Night Live. Like,
it was...
I am man.
It was
man.
Quite a choice.
Yeah,
man, really that he had made.
You all didn't see Bradley Cooper in the Elephant Man like I did.
Oh, I only saw the clip.
Like, yeah, that was fucking rough.
Yeah, but that's it. And it was directed by Danny Boyle. It was very well done.
Oh, okay.
It was very cool. But he was Benedict Cumberbatch was ridiculous. So it is
Frankenstein, but Boris Karloff's Frankenstein monster, but the monster.
Yeah,
it is the actual monster.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's Jacob Elordi as Frankenstein's monster, but
seems pretty unstoppable in the movie.
As the monster. And then you have Benedict Cumberbatch in makeup.
Yes, yeah.
In makeup, pretending to be Frankenstein in a very Mango style.
Yeah.
you can see there's a picture he's got up. He's bounding around the stage. He's a very animated Frankenstein's monster.
He had too much power at this time.
I'll tell you what, a Murdoch would love to kill a British man.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Of course.
And a British Frankenstein?
Oh, honestly, I would... I would like to as well. I'm getting pretty fired up about it. Just looking at him. He's too confident for a British man.
Way too confident, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, Johnny Lee Miller at least looks a little embarrassed.
That's what every one of them needs.
Mm-hmm. And the next matchup is going to be who? 20 chimney sweeps and their master.
Whoa!
Yes, my nanny suck children. Well, the reason why we did so many is because of how they're all riddled with cancer.
Yeah. And they're pretty disposable.
And they can almost sort of explode at the touch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're packed with tumors.
Yeah, they're all between the ages of 4 and 15. Yeah.
But that can eat up a lot of time for our Fagin.
Yeah, and if these are Mario-level biomes, these little guys will be good in the tubes.
That's
they
the
really
thing.
Will.
Yeah. If they happen to be in the minecart level...
This might be theirs.
It might be theirs.
Because there are, the biomes, half of them are Mario levels.
Oh, yes. I imagine the audience understood.
Yes, as they understood. And fighting those 20 chimney sweeps will be... the Eastern European Hammer Maniacs.
Wow. That is a fair match.
That is actually very fair.
And we have our two Dnipro Maniacs, our two Academy Maniacs, and then we have the Nighttime Killers, which were other two boys.
You didn't really bring them up.
No, they were Russian. They were inspired by the...
Why wouldn't they just take your time? The people are going to be there.
It's, the whole thing. It never gets old.
Wow. No, that's a hell of a matchup.
I can't wait to watch them honestly pop those children.
Yep. All right. And the last matchup of the night is three Waymos and a delivery robot named Guillermo.
Why are they always named after Spanish people? It's not fair.
It seems racist.
It does. Yeah.
Just a bit. And fighting the three Waymos and a delivery robot named Guillermo is the final matchup. The killer clowns from outer space.
Why not?
All right.
Yes, why fucking not?
How many killer clowns are we talking here?
Five.
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 Okay. Because they are pretty dopey. They are pretty dopey, yeah. And they largely can be, because I believe you just destroy them by blowing up their nose.
I believe that's how they die.
I believe it's been a long that's time. How they die.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to choose the biome.
It'll be hard for a Waymo.
It will be. This is really just about us trying to get rid of Waymos.
Mm-hmm. Live from your grave.
I think what we should do with the biomes is that we will choose the biome for each individual fight.
Yes.
So let's choose the biome. The first fight is going to be the Montauk Boys, led by President Barack Obama, versus a handful of chuds.
Got it.
All right. Now you're going to roll the die for the biome?
Yep. And the die, should we go through the biomes?
I'm going to just roll, and then right. You're going to tell what we're going to put with the biome.
All right.
So I'm rolling my 8-sided die. I got a 2.
Got a 2? Ice World.
Okay, ice so that's world. The first one. They're on the ice world. We know that there's flows. We know that there is maybe some still water, maybe an ice volcano.
Glacier, for sure.
Done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe an orca. Now, I got to ask a question. If you roll a 2 again, will they get the ice world again, even though we have 8 biomes?
No, we're cutting it.
So that's ice world. Yeah. All right, ice world's done. So if you roll a 2 again, you're just going to go again.
Yes.
Gotcha.
All right, so Ice World slipping around, Montauk Boys versus a handful of chuds. I think
let's
this...
fucking get into it. So then we're going to do fight one, right?
Yeah, yes. This is fight one. Ding, ding.
Ding,
it,
ding.
Yeah,
ding,
we're, ding, we are ding. In it. I think here, of course, the Ice World is going to be a massive disadvantage for the chuds.
Yes.
Well, I mean, they live basically outdoors. They live in the sewers. It gets very cold in New York. I think they've dealt with ice before.
Mm. But do chuds go to sleep when it's cold? My question do they have a... I honestly would imagine that they would be hibernatory, and they would probably go down in the warmer months. They would arise, and then the colder months, they would probably slow down, much like a reptile or something. That's how I view it in my mind, right?
Yeah, they are hot. So they run hot.
So we know that the boys enter in on a portal. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama is arrived. He comes through. He's riding 2 boys right on each foot.
He's not riding drones.
No. He's good. The drone is his friend.
Oh, okay.
That can talk. The drone's from the future, right? So he's like, yeah. But the drone, unfortunately, it's a pacifist, doesn't want to be involved.
Whoa!
And so it's just watching. It's hovering and watching. Barack Obama.
It's a very un-Obama drone.
Oh, tell me about it. He's just a boy. He doesn't know how to fucking do the negotiations right. Because he's just like, let me be clear. I'm trying to think what else he says.
Well, you just said Joe Biden's.
Let me be clear.
Yeah.
He says, right, Obama comes out and he goes,
look.
Hey, look. Hey, let's think about this.
I'll tell you what.
Hey.
Yeah. How you like a playlist? That's what he says.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I love Mobb Deep.
Yeah. He's like,
you know what I like?
Hey, Henry, I'm making a movie about aliens.
Oh, wow. How do I get in on that? Oh, wow. I can't wait to do that. Oh, wow. I got to produce that.
I do think the Ice World will slow down the chuds, but I do think the chuds are going to take down at least a couple of Montauk Boys because chuds are quite strong and very single-minded.
Chuds will fucking rip these kids from arms and legs.
Well, yeah. Unless you could go. I first think
a chud could be laying on its back in the ice and it could still rip these kids apart.
But yeah. I could also see a couple of chuds losing parts on the ice, right? They're going, they're getting stuck, they're fighting, and they can't do it. So you got the boys coming from all these different ends. I would imagine it'll take about...
they're all kind of wet.
They're
and
wet.
When you're wet, you touch ice, you stick.
Yes.
You don't slip.
No, you stick.
Interesting.
So these guys are sticking into the ice. They're struggling. Boys are attacking 1 or 2. Barack Obama, I imagine.
And it's 14-year-old Barack Obama, correct?
Yes.
It's teenage time traveler, chrononaut Barack Obama.
Fresh Absolutely. From Kenya. He's out there, so he knows what's going on. He's fighting 1-on-1 with a chud. Now, unfortunately, for the audience, we know he lives.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He became president.
Yeah.
Oh, well, not in this instance. We don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, we do. All of this is canon. No, everything's canon.
It's canon. Well, that's not fair then.
No, if this happens, Barack Obama could live.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the rest of them.
I don't think if you go hand to hand with a chud, even if they are stuck on the ice, I feel like it almost gives them an advantage. And I think these chuds are so powerful, these kids don't stand a chance. They're just going to rip off their faces.
I think that if they got close, sure. But also, they're pretty slow moving. And Daniel Stern didn't know they were coming.
And also remember that the Montauk boys are very good with science. They're going to have weapons. Like, they're going to have energy weapons. They're going to have sound weapons, sonic weapons.
I think the boys can make, take
they
them
can,
out.
They can make make a chud's head explode.
I do believe there is a sound weapon involved that could have definitely been brought from the minds of one of them. We know that that's how the Montauk Project worked. Barack Obama, far-thinking enough to think about the sound weapon, knows the drone doesn't want to fight, so he has this sort of amplification weapon that shatters the chuds.
Yeah.
But I do think we lose boys.
We definitely
lose. You have to lose boys. There's no way these chuds... First of all, I think both of you are wrong and the chuds destroy them. But, like, I obviously you're not going to let me win this.
Not
but
this one.
These boys are fucking worthless and they're weak.
Not Barack Obama. But Barack Obama's the X factor. He's the strongest boy.
Look at the claws on this fucking guy. Look at his teeth.
Barack Obama is... He makes love to Michelle every night.
You think so?
You know, he's got to fight her down.
Yeah, well, I think...
And she could take a chud.
Yeah. Well, I think if the chuds would have pulled the sewer level biome, then,
that's
I mean...
That's what's killing them.
I mean, obviously, they would have taken them down.
Well, the Montauk boys, you know, they live underground pretty much, too, as well, you know?
They do as well, but they live underground in a very cushy lifestyle. Chuds are living underground in 1970s New York, so 1980s.
I think the ice zone is what fucks them up.
Yeah. So the boys die, and we got Obama left in a time-traveling lazy boy.
Two of the five boys die.
Okay.
And then Barack, two. I think two.
Five chuds are only killing two boys.
They're stuck to the ice.
I'll give you three.
All right.
I'll give you three. So it's coming forward. It is
Barack Obama, one Italian boy from Long Island, the pacifist drone, and the time traveling chair.
Yes.
And don't forget, you know, Montauk. They have more tricks up their sleeve.
You never know. They can materialize things in their brain.
Yeah, they can have a little swollen raccoon that's dead with them.
Oh, absolutely. All right, so that settles that one. Right, we got one battle in.
All right, Montauk advances to the second round.
Ding, ding, ding.
Next matchup. The Einsatzgruppen versus the 1985 Chicago Bears.
God,
the starting defensive lineup of the 1985 Chicago Bears.
So we got the fridge.
Yes.
You got the rest of you know, Mike Singletary. They got full uniform. They're fully rehearsed.
Oh,
now, they're
Richard
not
Dent.
Tired.
Yeah, Richard Dent, he's one of the few defensive players to win a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah. All right, here comes the biome. This is going to find out where they were fighting. We have got number two was already taken. We got number seven.
Number seven. Molasses.
Okay.
Oh! It's just simply molasses.
So now it is in a field. We don't know where it came from. It's deep. It's like 3 feet of molasses, an endless field of it.
I think 3 feet is too much. Well, why don't
foot.
I think 6 inches.
All right. You're right.
I don't think it matters. The Bears got fucking cleats.
Well,
and they got the fridge. The fridge can eat up half of this goddamn molasses.
I think that is now we're again seeing how these biomes are coming into play.
Really changing it. But I do think that the Einsatzgruppen might have, this is where the Soviet winner might be an advantage because these guys have been surviving for months and months in very harsh conditions. The 85 Bears, I mean, yeah, it's cold in Chicago.
It's very cold in Chicago. In 85, you're playing outdoors?
Soldier Field,
you think that's fucking warm?
And honestly, I feel like the one thing truly that the 85 Bears have over the Einsatzgruppen, feet movement. Discipline.
Yeah.
You go into that,
and
you know that thing
with extreme strength to get through it.
You know those, like, they do the squares and they jump over the little things?
Yeah.
And they take ballet classes.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think the Einsatzgruppen has enough ammunition to even take this on.
Well, the way I'm seeing is the Einsatzgruppen has no ammunition left. All they have is their goofy SS knives that were gifted to them by Himmler.
Can you pull up a picture of Mike Singletary? Real quick, I want you guys to look at Mike Singletary and say how excited this man would be to kill a Nazi.
The only reason why I even want to give it to him.
I want
that man to beat an Einsatzgruppen to death with his hands.
And his helmet.
And I just can see it because I can see...
They're wearing helmets.
Yeah.
I think that they're motivated to beat the Einsatzgruppen. I think the Einsatzgruppen have been left behind.
Yeah.
They have been... honestly, in many ways... if I was reaching out to them, I'd say, you've been abandoned by your leadership, left to your own devices out there. You're fighting for no one. The 85 Bears are fighting for America.
Now, also, can I say something? You know who won the 85 Bears? You know who lost?
The Nazis.
Eisengruben.
The Nazis lost. The 85 Bears have already won.
They only lost one football game the entire season. That's fucking crazy.
And if it's Knives
they
versus...
lost to the Dolphins.
If it's Knives versus five emaciated 18-year-old psychopathic Nazis, I think that they unbelievably tear them to shreds. I think they tear them to shreds.
What I'm thinking is I think they are going to have some bullets left. I think what happens here is that the 85 Bears, unfortunately, are going to sacrifice one man.
Oh, at least.
Refrigerator Perry, I think...
He could take a lot.
I think he goes in front. Refrigerator Perry
goes in front.
Takes... all of the bullets for the team going forward.
And then he's laying on the ground while he's dying. He's eating the fucking molasses.
Yeah, he's just like, I can't believe I got all this free breakfast.
And so he's eating the molasses. As he's digging a trough through the molasses at the Eisengruben. They're tired. I view they have decided they are going to pin themselves. They're like, let him come to us.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
So they're doing the thing where they're laying back. They got the guns up. They fire their last few bullets into William the Refrigerator Perry. He comes through. He's dug a trough. His own dead body slides back through the fucking molasses at them, creating enough of a tunnel that Singletary and the rest of them rushed. Just like the Blitz.
Yeah.
Just like they always do, man.
He knows up the middle, Singletary.
He goes right up the fucking middle, and he just... if I was him, I'd sit on Reinhard Heydrich's face, right? Like, he's been like, hey, boys, bet I could choke this Nazi with my ass. And I'll be like, yeah, I bet you can.
While Richard Dent is over there just breaking their necks
just
one by one.
Because by that point, I think they're so debilitated that they're just... Now they're all stuck in the molasses. And now it's like the same thing when Hitler fucking gave up, because they come down to it. They're like, they probably start popping themselves in the mouths because they're such pussies.
Yeah. And you know what they do at the end? Super Bowl shuffle.
That's right. The 85 Bears take it.
Yeah, we knew they would.
Of course. We knew they would. Fucking Eisengrubens.
All right, so the next fight we got, I keep saying lineup, but it's the next matchup. It's Topsy and Whitey versus a pack of wolves.
Okay. God damn, this is tough.
This biome is going to actually very much affect this fight.
Because I don't think Topsy's well fed either.
No.
You know, unfortunately.
No. Yeah. Whitey's just going, hurricane! Ah, fucking kill a dog!
Yeah, and Topsy's been moving fucking amusement park rides all day.
There we go.
Yeah, she's tired.
And they're biome five.
Biome five is the Kentucky Vampires Hardee's parking lot.
Ooh, that's gonna be a plus for Topsy.
That is definitely a plus for Topsy. It's also, unfortunately, that really makes an easy, even playing ground for all these guys.
I think Topsy takes this one pretty easily.
I think Topsy's gonna take this one. I think Topsy's gonna kill two wolves and the rest are gonna run away.
Yes.
And then not before Whitey loses, I'm gonna say, an arm.
Yeah.
I don't think Whitey even notices anything's happening.
No. Yeah. I think Whitey's just being like, to the liquor store.
He's just firing a gun in the air.
It's just like, that's it. I think they don't really stand much of a chance. I think the wolves, unfortunately, are going to be taken down by Topsy and Whitey.
Very easily.
Just crunching their spines, kicking them into the dumpster inside of the Carl's
Jr. I think you're going to need at least 9 wolves to take down Topsy.
All the people in the Hardee's are just watching.
Yeah.
And you know, just being like, you know what they gonna do about this? I bet nothing.
Yeah. I tell you, a wolf is like, what? Like,
you
100?
Know how the government is.
You know, I bet this is a Democrat machination. I know what's happening here. They're attacking. I see that the wolves, that one's got the big tits like AOC. They're out there trying to attack the venerable symbol of the Republican Party.
And let's not forget, the wolves, they're like 180 pounds tops, and Topsy is about 8,000 pounds.
Yes. Yeah, and Topsy's angry.
That is a very big difference.
And I do believe that this is Topsy's realm.
The city
streets are where Topsy's best.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, this is simply asphalt.
Yes.
In front of a Hardee. So, Topsy takes this one. Yeah. Pretty easy.
And what a great day to be at the Hardee's. Yeah. And then we've got this one. What's this next bout?
This next bout, this is the last bout in the Eastern Conference. This is the Gremlins Ripoffs team. That's one critter, one ghoulie, one munchie, and one troll versus the Kentucky Vampires with one actual real vampire.
Okay, so this actual vampire is going to help. And where are they fighting? They're not at the Hardee's.
No, they are not. Unfortunately, they don't get home field advantage. Our Kentucky Vampires are going to be in Number one,
Lava World.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lava World. Oh, my God. I really thought that this was going to be good for the vampires, but Lava World seems like it might be better for the Gremlin ripoffs.
I truly believe the one world where a vampire does not, like, get total agency is at a Lava World.
Yeah.
I think a lava...
Can lava kill a vampire?
We have never... I'll say this. We've never been in a scenario yet where vampires have been put in lava. I've never seen it. I've never heard of it. But we know that fire kills the very center of all evil. Fire is normally one of the things that kills all things.
Okay.
In terms of any supernatural element, you're trying to destroy the heart, you're trying to destroy the brain. I'm pretty certain if you threw a vampire, if you got a vampire to touch lava, it's dead.
Yeah.
Now, I think.
What about ghoulies and munchies? I feel like they're not going to do too well in lava either.
Well, they're not going to do too well in lava as long as they stay out of the lava. Because the thing is about ghoulies and munchies and ghoulies and critters specifically, single-minded. They're very single-minded creatures. Critters specifically.
Now, critters, don't they have planes?
No. They do... Don't they have spaceships?
They believe a critter has a space.
Yeah, but I think critters are more...
No, they're from space.
They're definitely from space.
They're from space. They know to drive a spaceship.
They are 100% from space.
Technically critters.
But I think they're more like pests where they, you know, they hitch a ride.
They do, but they...
It looks like they're driving it right there.
Yeah, because from what I remember, I believe that critters, they are the eggs show up, and then they hatch from the eggs, and then, you know, the problems start there.
Yeah,
and there are critter hunters that go... Because I believe the...
Yes, the first one is called, what's his name, from Cats the Musical.
Yeah.
That's true. It's true.
Yeah, and the third one was Leonardo DiCaprio's first movie.
I think a lot of these guys, I don't know if there's any toilets in the lava world, but if there was, a ghoulie would definitely rip apart one of these Kentucky vampires, who I imagine spend a lot of time on the toilet because of their diets.
There is no information about the critters... If they can fly planes.
I believe the critters are pests. Like, I believe they just show up. They're sort of like they hitch a ride and lay their eggs and then cause havoc, which is why the Kreitz hunters kill Kreitz.
Yes.
You know, the Kreitz hunters have to chase them from planet to planet.
Yes, because they're resource hoarders.
I think the ghoulie and the munchie, they're doing well. And our last guy is a who? A troll.
A troll.
Loves lava, I think.
Yeah,
troll
does love lava. I unfortunately think that the lava, again, this is another thing where the biome is so crucial.
Yeah.
Because the boys have never, they only seen lava in video games. Right? The Kentucky guys, they go see that and they're like, we must go. The vampire is absolutely unfazed by the lava. And they go like, oh yeah, we're gonna go. And they think that they can do it. They're like, we're vampires. And I can literally see them running out towards the ghoulies.
They might not even fight.
I think that they just hit the lava and they immediately are like, thinking they're vampires.
Yeah.
And they immediately are destroyed.
Yeah, and vampires, you know, they're good at killing humans, but I don't think they're good at killing munchies. No. I don't think they're, I've never heard of a vampire eating a troll. I never heard of an, you know, I think this is a, I don't think they got a chance here.
I just think that a vampire is being thrust into a lava-based scenario that a vampire has never been in before. They're from Eastern Europe.
Is Iceland active vampires?
What?
Iceland? No, not really.
No? Yeah, fuck them. They're dead.
Yeah, Iceland doesn't have vampires.
Iceland is trolls.
They have trolls. They live in volcanic rock.
Yeah. So with the troll alone, they don't have a fucking chance.
I just feel like, they're going to get lava mogged. I'm going to use that term again.
Yeah.
And I think that the actual vampire is going to get so distracted by trying to coordinate the pretend Kentucky vampire.
Yeah.
The ghoulies, the gremlins ripoffs are going to take him down pretty quickly.
But I do feel like the gremlin ripoffs are more doing the Sun Tzu don't get in the way of your enemies, make a mistake.
Yeah.
And they're watching them all die in the lava flows.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we fucked up a lot of stuff before, haven't we, guys? And they're like, yeah. They're like, let them fuck themselves up.
Because remember, all these creatures do have the power of speech and communication. Yes. They just, because remember, cheeseburger. Yeah.
And munchies just love pussy.
Yeah.
of all of them, we know that munchies are the horniest of all.
Easily.
So, and they don't have any girls.
So the Gremlins ripoffs take it.
Wow, that's great.
That's great. Yeah,
that's actually big.
I think they're
all
going to live, right?
Yeah,
I think they all live.
Yeah,
I don't think
they lose a single person here.
No.
Yeah.
All right. So that is the first round of the Eastern Conference.
This has just been truly historic already. The biomes, to me, best thing we've ever added.
Yeah. Oh, I love the biomes.
It really does add
a whole world,
a whole new thing to it. So let's move over to the Western Conference. We have the first matchup, Poison versus the Epstein crew.
Oh man, these guys.
Well,
I just really see them becoming friends. We'll see what happens here.
See, I could see.
I feel like their Epstein crew's just be like, hey, I'm going to hire you to play the party.
I also,
and then
though,
they're just going to fall for it immediately because they take any gig.
Well, let's first see the biome.
This is them at the height of their powers, though.
I feel also, but you see, they don't have the money.
Yeah.
The Epstein does. I think that the Poison crew could be very easily convinced that they belong in the Epstein group, and then they could be surprise attacked by the Epstein group. Mm. Because I think that
they're
the Poison
smart,
crew is very, I think that they're extremely clever. Poison is not clever.
No.
They only know how to fucking apply. They don't know how to make their hair big, and they know how to eat pussy and drink.
If it was the lava realm, they'd be instantly dead just because of the heat and their hairspray.
Well, let's just get, first of all, let's see what the biome is.
Yeah.
Let's see what the biome is. We have, it's number six.
Number six, that is, number six just happens to be 6th Street in Austin on a Saturday night.
Oh, man, that's going to give Poison a distinct advantage because they can drink more than anyone and I believe become more powerful with every shot they take.
Oh, my God, yo, are we about to see, to be honest, I'm almost getting chills, one of the biggest upsets in this whole fucking thing. Because I didn't expect this.
I thought Poison was dead out the gate.
Second.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, but I could see them.
Did you put them on 6th Street? I set up a stage.
Okay. You set up a stage, right? Poison's playing. Epstein crew rolls in, right? Obviously, you got Stephen Hawking. He cuts through the crowd being like, it's time to chew gum and kick ass and my
what
lips
do you
don't
mean
work anymore.
Cover?
You know, they're going to go, and they're ready to fight. Epstein's got his two Mossad guys. Obviously, they're talking to a bunch of 14-year-olds. It's hard. It's Austin. They're very distracted.
Yeah.
They got fucking, Noam is there going, just trying to be like, it's linguistics. You know, but he's got his pen bomb, right? He got a pen bomb.
Well, the thing is about 6th Street, you drop Woody Allen and Noam Chomsky into 6th Street on a
beat
Saturday night. No, I mean, well, they're just immediately going to be overwhelmed. And fall to their fucking knees.
Oh, how am I going to do? Oh, Cole Sunye. Oh, God.
Yeah, Woody Allen's going to have an allergy attack.
So Poison has decided, Poison knows this is their strength. They have set up a collapsible stage on 6th Street, and they are performing at the height of their powers.
Yeah.
They're performing a free live show on 6th Street, which is now filled with thousands of armed Texans.
Yes.
You have Jeffrey.
And I gotta say, Poison in Texas in the 1980s, as someone who grew up, they were one of the biggest bands on earth. You could not, like, it was Poison, Motley Crue, and Guns N' Roses were the three biggest bands on earth. You couldn't say a bad word about any of those bands.
No,
so
man.
You've got Jeffrey Epstein, all of them, they show up to shut the party down.
Not just that. Woody Allen is talked into coming on stage to play the clarinet. As soon as he gets on stage, murdered.
Murdered.
I think as soon as he gets on stage, fucking CC DeVille puts a fucking knife into his kidney.
Dude, I think the people of Austin.
Yeah.
Kill the Epstein crew in the name of Poison to stop them from stopping the show.
Poison barely has to get their hands dirty.
Yeah. I don't think Poison does anything.
Now, what about these Mossads that are hanging out over at the off the rooftop of the Hilton?
Once Epstein's dead, the checks stop clearing.
Yeah. There's no. And I don't think that Epstein has any way to bring Poison to his side because Poison don't need Epstein's help.
They don't need the fucking. They already paying for it.
Yeah.
They're already got it. They got all the groupies. They have no power over them.
There's underage girls in every single bar in Austin.
I am so... I literally, guys, need them. I really can't describe how surprised that we are here.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I thought these Epstein guys were actually going to go a lot further.
Yeah, wow.
I thought so too. Man, this is like fucking Gonzaga going out in the first round.
You can't beat Poison on 6th Street.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be interesting. Now, the Texans, they have a soft spot for a man in a wheelchair.
What, just because they like to boss him around, tell him what to do?
Well, because of Greg Abbott. He's their leader.
Oh, yeah, but they only like that one.
No. You misunderstand. They vote for him in spite of the wheelchair, not because of it.
Yeah.
Trust me.
You also got to remember, they hate eggheads.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
guess
right.
What fucking
these guys are nerds.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God. They're going to get pants. Worst, they're going to get their dickies slapped.
It is literally the worst possible place for them to have chosen. And this is why the Biomes make this the best March Madness we've ever done, because that changes everything.
It really
does.
I'm
so proud of Austin. I never thought I'd say that.
Not once, dude. Obviously, they kill them. They fucking kill them.
Yeah, so, man, and that's the thing. I guess, man, Epstein crew doesn't even have a chance to pull out their secret weapon.
No.
Yeah.
Which was what?
Mecca Michael Jackson.
Yeah, they become Mecca Jackson.
Yeah, they become Mecca Jackson.
But they get torn to pieces
Michael
by the crowd.
Michael Jackson he's not appreciated in Austin.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No, he's just, only time you hear Michael Jackson is like on like a bicycle going by.
Yeah, the only child molester. The only child molester they like down there is Kid Rock. You know, that's just because of his name.
All right.
Wow. There are many molesters.
Unbelievable.
Holy fucking shit.
There's plenty of molesters in Texas.
Yeah, no, Texas is a rat's nest of molesters.
No, I know. I've seen them. I've seen the stats.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, Poison.
Poison
goes to the next round.
I can't believe it.
Jesus Christ.
That's amazing.
Yeah, now this next matchup, this is a big one. This is the Murdoch family, armed and drunk, versus two Frankenstein's monsters and Benedict Cumberbatch dressed up as Frankenstein.
Wow.
Playing Frankenstein as Mango.
I am just, because first thing I will say though is if Benedict Cumberbatch had not had his green drink that morning, it's going to be pretty testy.
Yeah. And, you know, say what you want about him being strong against the Murdochs, but the Murdochs might find him funny.
Yeah.
Oh, they might think him doing them, but like, he's playing Sam from I Am Sam. I like when he does that. Like, he does the Riri voice. Yeah. That's what we like.
Yep, that and it's very much what his performance was.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, huh? All right, so here we go. So we're going to be in. Number three,
Skyboat.
Whoa!
Yeah, Skyboat. So they're going to be dealing with cannonballs. They're going to be dealing with raccoons throwing ninja stars.
Yeah. Man, I got to say, like, it's really hard to, like, take out one of these Frankenstein's monsters, but we do know the Murdochs have killed people on boats before.
They know boats even in the sky.
Yeah.
Yes.
They know boats.
Do they own the boat?
Neither crew is good at swift, diversive movement.
Here's the thing.
You know, neither one of them is good at, like, dodging a cannonball.
This might be where Benedict Cumberbatch actually does have a bit of an advantage, because he was, as I said earlier, too animated in that performance.
But Paul...
He can move.
Paul and...
Buster?
Buster, both Skeeter and Skitter.
Yeah.
We forgot about the Skitter.
Paul Skitter's Buster don't skitter.
No,
remember, Buster's a big boy. He gets out of breath real fast, just as fast as his father.
Yeah. But Paul's a skitter.
He is a skitter.
He is a skitter. Yeah. He's dangerous, but if he jumps on a Frankenstein's monster's back, he's just going to get ripped to shreds.
AR-15s, though. That's the problem.
Can't you litter a Frankenstein's monster with bullets and nothing's going to happen?
Watching Benedict Cumberbatch do this Frankenstein thing is making me believe in him less. Every single time I see him do a somersault is Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
I care about that man.
Because he should
never act again.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen. Yeah. He should never act again.
No, this is one of the worst things that happened in COVID, and my father died.
Yeah, this is horrible. This is just truly a villain. That's worse than anything the Murdochs did.
I'm thinking the Murdochs are going to light up Benedict Cumberbatch, and I think they're going to light up the Frankensteins, and then they're going to high five, and then the Frankensteins are going to stand back up, and they're going to be like, oh, fuck, and they're just going to walk over and just rip them to shreds.
I do think that we could see the Frankensteins doing especially on these precarious platforms on the Sky Balloon.
Yeah.
They're not
Sky Boat.
I'm sorry. They have not, like, obviously the Murdochs, they're used to some movement, but not in a 4D world. You know what I mean?
No.
Like,
no.
They're used to a boat going like this.
They're not
used to a boat going up and down like this.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
I think that I could see them shooting some Frankensteins. Yeah, exactly. Just because, again, they don't finish the job.
I could see them like shoot him, turn around, start drinking and celebrating before it's even, they don't even know it's not over.
And then, yeah, obviously the other two Frankensteins get up and then it's more of a push them towards the edge.
And we saw Lordy fuck that boat up right up top.
Oh, yeah.
And Frankenstein, he just walked up to that goddamn boat and fucked it up.
He did.
Yeah.
Him versus a boat was big deal. And I do think that the Frankensteins, due to their nature of not really being alive, is that because they need to be fully dismantled.
Yeah.
The only way for them to be destroyed, like, I do, is that not true with Frankenstein? Have we seen that yet? In a movie?
Well, he usually ends up floating on the iceberg at the end.
Yeah. If it was in a burning windmill... Well, you know, I could say they might have a chance of losing.
Yeah, because Frankenstein usually takes himself out.
Yeah.
He does. Yeah,
usually.
It's usually him. But he has to be wholly destroyed. And isn't there normally some doubt as of whether he lived or not?
Always.
There's always some. He's the first Jason.
Yeah.
So I do feel like in many ways, Frankenstein would be hard to... I think if you explode... the only way to get him is you'd have to explode him.
Yeah, and I don't think the Murdochs have a grenade with them. They do have AR-15s, but there are bombs on the boat.
Well, there's cannons being fired constantly.
Yes.
But I do feel like the Frankensteins can wrap their head more around this environment.
I think Alec Murdoch moves just like a Frankenstein.
Yes.
And he's just not as strong.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that the Murdochs would, obviously on a 1-on-1, can't beat a Frankenstein.
No. It's 3-on-3 right here. And they got two dogs. And I think Frankenstein kills dogs too.
I mean, the dogs just fucking paralyzed by the sky boat.
They can't go anywhere. They don't understand boats. They don't understand the sky. Put them together, they're really fucked up.
No, they're scared as fuck. They don't want to be on this fucking sky boat.
And even if the dogs got their wherewithal, they got their mind together to attack the Frankenstein's just going to punt it into the fucking sun.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to rip its face off. It's going to break its neck.
All right, so Benedict dies.
Yes.
Benedict definitely dies, because he's... Because
he deserves to.
He brings the same confidence to this fight that he brought to that performance.
And he does one somersault.
He's gonna fail just as hard.
Yeah. He does one somersault, hit by a fucking... He's hit by a cannon fire.
Yeah.
I hope he is hit by cannon fire. He is immediately exploded.
Man, imagine if a Frankenstein got a star.
Oh, wow. Oh, fuck. Oh, man. We gotta go. Skitter, Paul. Paul, we gotta skitter. Skitter out of there. Come on, Paul.
No, I think Paul is the one that hides after he sees his father's face get ripped off by Frankenstein. Yeah. And then the Boris Karloff finds him and rips him to shreds.
Yeah. That's great.
Just throws him off the side of the boat. I can also see a Frankenstein just throwing him off the side of the boat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see Paul like thinking he ate a flower because his hair is so red and then trying to throw a fireball and nothing happens.
Yeah, and then the Frankenstein just breaking his hand.
Yeah.
Like grabbing his arm, just breaking his arm back. And you're like, ah! And then he takes the other one, he pushes him off the fucking boat.
So the Frankensteins take it.
All right.
Win the sky
ball. All right.
Next up, 20 chimney sweeps and their master versus the Eastern European hammer maniacs.
Wow.
Six hammer maniacs, all armed with hammers.
So here we go. So
two biomes left.
Two biomes left. Here we go. I think the last one I got here. Wait. Oh, my die.
No, my die.
Number four.
They're on the minecart level.
Oh, this is advantage.
Chimney sweep.
By far.
Oh,
yeah, they're in and out of these minecarts.
Oh,
you can fit
no.
20.
This is exact
you can put
nightmare
them all
scenario.
In one minecart or put them all in different minecarts.
This is a nightmare scenario for our hammer maniacs. They did not expect this at all. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Ukraine. Eastern Europe, they love mines. Kids die in mines all the time.
The Daewoo ain't doing well on the mine track.
No, Daewoo is
useless.
Yeah. No, they are just on the mine track, and they are, wow, the chimney sweeps so accustomed to death, so accustomed to being absolutely, they are expendable.
I think five chimney sweeps die, but that's just because they're around.
They died of natural causes.
Yeah, they died. Yeah, they coughed a bunch inside one of the cars.
They died of
absolutely. So they died. Yeah, we lose five chimney sweeps, but not to hammer deaths.
Go,
yeah.
My little spiders. Yeah. My little sparrows. Go and fight them. Fight them and bring me that hammer.
Now, what about the hammer maniacs? Do you think that they have a chance of killing the master?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like the hammer maniacs could take out the master.
I think the master gets taken out. Yeah. I think so at least really two of the hammer maniacs sneak behind, they find the master, they beat him to death. But unfortunately, it is the chimney sweeps, well, their coal experience that takes them to the end of the minecart level.
The only thing I would say, though, is I do believe that upon being struck with a hammer, a chimney sweep explodes.
Yeah,
it's so fragile.
The thing is with the hammer maniacs, they're going to take what they're going to get there. They're going to kill the fucking master, and then they're going to start plucking out his eyeballs and all that. And when they're doing that, they get distracted, and they're just going to get swarmed with chimney sweeps.
And that's the idea, that they just get swarmed by 15. So 15 chimney sweeps beats 6 armed boys.
Yes. Yeah. Because
they got sticks, and they don't care, right? Mm. I mean, we did this last year with the larrikins. We talked about this, but the larrikins, they have a little bit more weaponry and stuff like that. The chimney sweeps are really just kind of armed with, like, we're the weapon.
Yeah.
And so that's just the problem. Without a leader, I don't know what they do. I think without a leader, the chimney sweeps are pretty disorganized.
They're pretty chaotic, but I don't see them, you know, they still have a want. You know, they're still hungry.
For what? To go back?
To kill.
To the chimneys?
I think they're dirty killers.
Yeah. I think many of them are. If you remember from the episode, one chimney sweep became one of the most famous criminals in British history.
That's true. And I guess they do kick the other little boys. There's always stronger boys.
And once the master dies, the largest chimney sweep just becomes the master. Yeah.
I guess that's the... Honestly, that's the stem of their defeat here. Yeah. Is that they do make it their way to the top of the minecart thing. They beat Fagin, thinking that they're going to beat him to death. They think that's it. They think that is what's going to disrupt the chimney sweeps. They don't understand. There's not only are the chimney sweeps expendable, so are the masters. And then another master just rises to the forefront and it's just a kid with one eye.
There's a strict hierarchy in the chimney sweeps that the hammer maniacs do not understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they go to cut the head off the snake. They end up just creating another head of the snake. Mm-hmm. It's like what we just did in Iran.
So the chimney sweeps take it. Wow.
These have been upsets across the board.
Big I didn't
upsets.
Think the chimney sweeps had a chance, but you put them there. Minecar level, Skyboat, also good level for them.
Yeah.
Super good level for them. Because they don't care. Because they have no fear.
Live from your grave.
Well, we only have one biome left.
That's it.
And one grouping.
And again, the biome's going to make all the difference between three Waymos and a delivery robot named Guillermo versus the killer clowns. They're in the sewers.
Oh, man. I mean, we all know the Waymo can't handle the sewers.
No.
Your water kills robots. Yeah. You know, this is no good.
Yeah.
So the killer clowns specifically are good against organic things.
Yeah. Mm.
And so what they did
crash their spaceship.
They specifically are fueled by people, right? And so I'm going to put this out here. This is my alternative view, is that the killer clowns don't fully understand what they're against.
Yeah.
They think that they're other organics.
Yeah.
So the Waymos, right?
You don't think their ray guns work against the Waymos?
I think that they can. I don't know. We've only seen them work against organic things. I actually think that they're used to organics. I feel like the Waymos might confuse them.
You don't think they can cotton candy wrap them?
Well, I think they can, but then I think the Waymos is going to go in and out because they're not getting any vital juices from the cotton candy. That's why they even cotton candy them in the first place.
Yeah. Mm.
So they cotton candy them to suck the juices out of them like giant spiders.
But the sewers are such a bad place for a Waymo and a delivery robot. Yeah.
I agree.
They don't have much of a chance in the sewer.
Yeah, unless there is Guillermo filled with explosives.
Do they sacrifice Guillermo? But
a delivery with explosive diarrhea created.
Well, what if Guillermo is filled with
Euro? I think he's filled with Euro.
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
Yeah. The Waymo could be filled with a bunch of teenagers, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, but screaming bachelorettes.
Yeah.
Who is controlling these robots?
People from Philippines.
Yeah, people from the Philippines. Yeah. Remote control.
I'm pretty certain that. There's people in there. See, the thing here is that I could see them struggling. And I guess defeating the Waymos is just immobilizing them.
Yeah.
But they do that to themselves.
And yeah. I think the Waymo, as we know, I know there's only three, but as we saw during the protests out here in LA, you call a Waymo, you destroy it, another one just comes.
I know, that's the thing. Yeah. I do think that they are legion.
Yeah, they kind of don't stop. I know there's three, but I feel like there's more.
I do think that we say that there's three, but there's more.
But how do they get down there?
They just keep going down the subway stairs.
Yeah. They'll find a way.
You know, like, just keep driving into the subway and smashing them. I think the Waymos beat the killer clowns.
I think the Waymos, but the Waymos can't be infinite, though.
No. So, yeah.
They have access to three at any time.
But are they now stuck in the sewer? How are we going to get them out of there?
Well, I mean, we'll get to that when we get to the next level.
Yeah.
Because the next round.
God, I really want the Killer Clowns to win, but I don't know if they win.
I think the Waymos in this instance.
Kind of just run them over.
I think mob them and beat them in this instance.
Yeah.
Because they're used to organics.
Yeah.
All right.
I think the Waymos do take it. You're right.
Wow.
God, that hurts.
It does.
It hurts.
Hey, man, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. We can't always decide. God decides who wins. It's not us. We're just here. We're just conduits.
And that's the first round of the Western bracket done.
Wow.
Our winners, we have Poison, 2 Frankensteins, 15 Chimney Sweeps, naked to the end.
It's all B teams.
Yeah, and the Waymos. I mean, this has just been so Waymo's much, so many upsets. Just so many upsets. I mean, the first one, we knew that the Bears were going to take the Einsatz group, and we knew Topsy was going to take the Wolves, but who knew that Poison was going to take down
the
largest villains of the 20th century?
Wow. We just got to bring them to Austin.
Yeah.
Well, all right, now for the second match, for each one, we're going to flip a coin to decide which of the biomes they have previously fought in they fight the semifinals in.
Correct.
Yes. So now we have the first seed of the semifinals is...
That is the Montauk Boys with Barack Obama. There's three Montauk, or actually two Montauk Boys and Barack Obama.
And a chair.
And, of course, whatever interdimensional creatures they may want to summon against... The starting defensive lineup of the 1985 Chicago Bears.
Wow.
Minus Refrigerator Perry. Perry was lost.
Yeah. All right.
So let's flip the coin. Let's
flip the coin to see whether they will battle in the ice world or molasses.
Yep.
Oh. Boop. Which one is which?
Heads is ice world, tails is molasses.
Ice World!
Wow!
Big disadvantage, 85 Bears.
What are you talking about? Soldier Field, they play on ice.
No, boys
for half
fly.
Of the season.
The Montauk Boys are flying.
All right, are you ready for this? Barack Obama's their biggest person, right? Their most important fighter.
Chicago.
He loves the Bears.
He loves the
Bears. He's going to be enamored. He can't believe he gets to meet the Chicago Bears.
14-year-old Barack Obama is going to lose it.
He's going to lose it. He's not going to be able to fight.
Seriously, he's
being... Mike Singletary?
He has spent the last year in fake time in a time fold being bred on Mars.
Yes.
He misses seeing the Bears live so much.
And so the 85 Bears, they are... Like, football is very religious. You know, like, I imagine most of the Montauk Boys or Giants or Jet fans.
Sure.
But the thing is,
being even around Super Bowl winners.
As a Miami Dolphin guy, the 85 Bears are a special team that everyone just kind of likes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? So everyone wants to meet the Bears. Everyone wants to be a part of the 85 Bears.
And this crew specifically was around in the mid 80s when the Super Bowl shuffle was at its peak.
Yes.
Right? Like, we are looking at this. So we are seeing.
These boys are going to be so starstruck. They're not even going to know how to fight.
I actually think you might be correct.
Yeah.
I think that the boys here might be so overwhelmed by the 85 Bears.
We haven't even talked about Ditka.
No. Yeah. I think that they're I think they're signing.
Dick is not a part of this. It's just the starting lineup.
Yeah,
I think
that
they sign a bunch
place.
Of they sign a bunch of autographs, right?
Yeah.
They get the kids are waiting and then they were like, okay, yeah, you guys we want to take some pictures, and they're all like, yeah. Hey, pick pictures, and then eventually they're like, are you guys ready? And they're like, yeah. They just drown all the boys.
Yeah. And then who gets? Guess what happens? Richard Dent gets the chair.
Wow.
But I do believe that Barack Obama does know the future, explains it to him, and they let him go. And he's got to go back. He goes back in the time portal.
Yeah, he's the only Montauk boy that a bear doesn't take his football helmet and just beat
crack
his head in
his
with it.
Crack his fucking head open with it. Yeah, because I definitely, wow.
Yeah, okay, so the 85 Bears take it.
Yeah, Ice World.
Easy.
Now they own the Ice World, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, and that is in the Ice World. So next up in the quarterfinals, it is Topsy the Elephant and Whitey, a little beaten up from the Wolves, because the Wolves definitely did a little bit of damage.
Well, some bites, but they're fine.
Yeah, versus the Gremlins ripoffs. I think the Gremlins ripoffs take him down.
I think, you know what it's going to be? And like, as someone who's a huge Topsy fan and doesn't want Topsy to lose this, I think that a critter and a ghoulie could crawl up inside Topsy and eat the important organs
also,
and then come back out the ass.
We also forget, elephants, they get scared by things they don't recognize.
Yeah, scared of mice, you know, stuff
so
like that.
I think that it knows a wolf.
Yeah.
And it's not afraid of a wolf.
Yeah, it knows a human.
But I think it sees a munchie and is freaked out.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it tosses Whitey.
Yeah.
Whitey breaks his neck. Gets ripped apart by Critter.
Yeah.
And I think that Topsy is eventually overwhelmed.
I think Topsy is like, is honestly, because the thick
skin.
But
we haven't decided the biome.
Oh, what is the biome?
That's that. That's right. So we have either
the Hardee's parking lot,
or Lava World.
Lava World. Ooh.
Honestly, I don't think this really makes much of a difference.
No.
I mean,
but it would be nice to take the troll out of the lava.
Yeah. It's the parking lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, good. So this is good. This is going to level the playing field for the future. We're going to say the trolls and they're going to beat Topsy.
I think that they win.
I think Topsy
wins. I think that Topsy is frightened by what he's seeing.
And I really do stand by they're going to go inside of Topsy and eat out its kidneys and its heart and shit.
Yeah,
like
come out strong.
Yeah, Critters is going to eat him from the inside out.
Yeah.
I don't think it really stands a chance, unfortunately.
And do you think that Whitey is going to pass up a chance to just leave and party with the munchie?
Oh, you think you're going to go be like, how'd I eat pussy in space?
I'm pretty sure Whitey cracked his head open and is just convulsing on the sidewalk.
Honestly, I can really see that for him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that for him as well.
I can really see that for him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, these munchies are, they're tough.
Yep, take them down.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, done. So, the Gremlins take it. The Gremlins ripoffs take it.
Wow, man. This is crazy.
This is awesome.
I like that we got lots of little guys.
Yeah. Me too, always. Yeah.
All right, so the next one, we have Poison versus Two Frankensteins.
Okay, right, again, the biome's really going to tell a lot here.
And biome is either going to be
Austin Sixth Street.
It's Austin Sixth Street.
Heads.
Saturday Night Heads or Skyboat. Sixth Street.
Man.
Okay. So, yes, originally, this works for Poison.
Yes.
Right? They got the thing going. The crowd has killed Epstein. They're now they're on their cover set.
Yeah.
They played all the hits already. They're on the cover set.
They're unfortunately forced to play Rocky Like a Hurricane.
Yes. Yes. Two Frankenstein monsters show up at the concert to attack them. This is what I'm thinking. I think the crowd goes to the Frankenstein monster side.
Well, they love a big dumb guy.
If a Frankenstein's monster showed up and I was seeing Poison, first thing I'd be like, no shit, it's Frankenstein's monster, right?
Yeah.
I'd go back to Frankenstein's monster. Bigger star than Poison.
Much bigger star.
Poison's like, oh, everybody, we got to fight the Frankenstein's monsters.
Yeah.
And everyone's
what,
like,
are you fucking crazy?
Yes. Well, I think it's like in Texas, their mind always goes to football. Like, I think that boy, probably put him on defense next year.
Wow.
I think we might be able to take down them Aggies.
Yeah, they're going to try to make them the Frankenstein's Cowboys.
Because
yeah.
I've seen, because the Frankenstein's monster, if lore does hold, he can play the electric guitar. Yeah. Some of them can play the keytar. I've seen that a couple of times at Universal Studios.
They can dance and sing.
Yeah. I think that they go on stage. Poison thinks that they can have the same mandate. they take the audience hostage because the audience is so excited to watch Frankenstein's monsters take over the keyboards and the guitars. They're already playing the songs. Everyone's like, oh my fucking God, I had no idea they could shred. Yeah. Now they've lost the audience.
Uh-huh.
Frankenstein's monsters
has its thought.
This is the best shit I've ever seen. Who says Sixth Street's changed?
Has nothing but a good time.
Who said that Sixth Street's different? This is what we like.
That's the other thing about Texans. Speaking of being a Texan, fickle people. Very fickle, not very loyal. They're going to switch from poison over to the Frankensteins immediately.
I just think the Frankensteins quickly physically overwhelm them, and then they have the people backing them up if they even try to fight against them.
I feel like they're going to fucking start running the fucking Frankensteins for senator.
Yeah. Or immediately can be like, how you feel about gun control? I know you're anti-abortion. I know you're pro-life.
Fire bad.
All right, so the Frankensteins take it.
Wow.
And
Austin Sixth Street, really the factor. I think they're the greatest enemy in the bracket.
It really is. Is the people of Sixth Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And having just almost been killed on Sixth Street just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Getting caught in a mass shooting event. It is a dangerous place.
It's a bit dangerous out there.
Yeah. So we have in the final quarterfinal.
Wow.
15 chimney sweeps versus Waymos. Three Waymos. And we're saying Guillermo survived.
I think Guillermo lived. Yeah. Yeah.
It's either going to be, and this is going to be a big, actually, well, it's minecart level or sewers.
Yeah. Honestly.
It's the sewers.
I mean, these.
It's Waymos, man.
No way.
Yeah, dude. Waymos
these chimney
are,
sweeps can fucking. They can take on sewers.
Nah,
they're going
dude.
Down little fucking pipes.
They
these
can't
people
be.
Live in pipes. Yeah. They're gonna crawl into. They're gonna go in the exhaust pipe of a Waymo and disassemble it from the inside.
Yeah. I believe.
I think these. No way. These Waymos don't have a chance against these guys.
I think they're making them street pizza. I think that they're going there doing donuts. They're fucking popping chimney sweeps left and right.
They're going to kill a couple of them. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're going to, they die just thinking.
I don't know if they understand what electronics are.
Yeah, that's going to be the big factor here.
I think they'd be scared of the Waymos.
I don't think they would. They've worked with ovens. These guys ain't scared of nothing. They don't understand death.
They are actually, that is true.
That
they
is
are.
Also true. They have no cares in the world.
They
have nothing to lose.
Okay, here's what I think happens. I think that a Waymo comes, hits one of the chimney sweeps. The chimney sweep rolls over and breaks the windshield. I think he goes through the windshield, and that's when the chimney sweeps realize that these Waymos do have some sort of vulnerability. They are not invincible, and I think the chimney sweeps use their sewer knowledge, they use their pipe knowledge to drop from above and take out the Waymos, because once you're on top of a Waymo, it's done.
And
Waymo
then
can't do anything.
You pop its tires, you fill the whole thing filled with coal, like then you're fucked. If you can literally just coal dump it.
I think these chimney sweeps could take apart anything, whether it's a robot or not. I think they could just disassemble anything with their little fingers.
But we also have to remember, not just overwhelming force, we have to understand certain things. It's hard all because we always kind of have boys just winning.
There are gremlins. These are interchangeable. Chimney sweeps are interchangeable with gremlins.
It's true. That's true. But I still don't think they are as physically strong as a larrikin.
I think we're going to
see the end of their ability.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And they get sicker every match. I believe we probably lost another five.
I think we lost seven.
Oh, yeah.
I think we lost seven.
So we're down to eight chimney sweeps.
Okay. But they do, I think, take the Waymos.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, they do. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I'm with it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. And, man, we are down to it's the semifinals now. It is the 85 Chicago Bears, who lost nobody.
Lost nobody.
We lost nobody in the last one.
They're in an ice world.
Yeah, they're in the ice world. And the Gremlins ripoffs, who also
lost nobody.
I think 85 Bears tear the fucking Gremlins ripoffs to shreds.
Well, let's see.
Most likely. Trolls are very strong.
And the biome is the parking lot.
Oh, the Bears take it.
Oh,
I think the Bears fucking take it, dude. I think that they've never been up
Hardee's?
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go near the Bears in a Hardee's parking lot.
I think the Bears...
That's like they're... That's more... They might as well be in Soldier Field.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I think that that is... Yeah. They are more than on home turf. I think that they are... They want it more. They just beat the Nazis. They just beat... Literally, they're on a streak.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the Super Bowl factor's kicking in. They know how to do it in the after season, right?
They're probably not super pumped that they just had to beat a couple of teenagers to death, though.
Yeah, that's probably
going to fuck with
especially
them a little bit.
Future president.
They let Barack Obama go.
But they had to kill the other two.
So they did, and the chair.
Yeah. You really don't think they care that much? If there are things of winnings on the line,
they are like hopped up on cocaine.
Yeah, and they killed them. The boys were their enemy going through their system.
Yeah.
They were told to kill the boys.
Yeah, they were told to kill the boys. And I also think, because the thing with the little guys, it's the numbers that really make it. Because you always were like, well, why can't you just kick them to death or stomp them to death?
In this case, they can.
And in this case,
I really think they can.
Yeah, there are 10 incredibly athletic men.
Wearing pads. We've never seen
a gremlin ripoff against trained men.
No.
It's always like kids and cops. They go against cops.
The cops are not necessarily trained.
But they're always small town cops.
Yeah.
I mean, they did go up against, a space corporation once. But they beat them. No, they did. They lost. That was Critics 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did lose. But.
Yeah, they're not the Viet Cong.
Yeah. And they did go against in Critters 2, that was the whole plot, was, the Kreitz hunters come and, they were armed.
But we have one critter.
We have one critter.
We only got one critter.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, the critter's ball really is the big thing here.
Yeah.
But I think...
If they had the critter's ball, we could talk.
Yeah.
Sure, but I think that the Bears here, they're on a roll.
Yeah.
They're in the zone.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, even when they fuck up, they win.
I think they might lose a couple of guys.
Yes.
I think a critter does take down. A critter is an incredibly dangerous character.
It is, and I think that they do, but I think that they kill the Munchie and the Ghoulie, and I think that they'd eventually, they then taken them all down.
Yeah. But the troll is very strong.
Yeah, but I still think it's killable.
I said, let's take out two Bears.
Yeah, take out two Bears.
Yeah, but they win.
Maybe a cornerback and another defensive lineman, because, they go inside.
Yes, so it's
nine from the outside.
We have nine Bears now.
Nine Bears.
We have eight.
Got it.
Because we lost the fridge.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Got it. Great.
All right, so eight Bears. Eight. 85 Bears are in the final.
In
a Hardee's parking lot.
Well, no, we do with the biomes. We have a home. The last ones of the dome.
We'll make the announcement.
Yeah, we will make the final biome. The semifinals in the Western Conference. I mean, I think this is a gimme. It's two Frankensteins versus eight chimney sweeps.
All right, let's just see where they fight.
Yeah,
just
for
let's see where they fight.
Yeah, because this one's
this might be my favorite final outcome we've ever had.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're doing, and it's in the sewers.
I'm sorry,
but I mean, Frankensteins do really well in sewers.
Even if they got a duck, still gonna fucking.
And their natural empathy only goes so far.
Yeah, no, they kill children.
Yeah, I mean,
Frankenstein's monsters kill children.
They have but they throw that kid in the lake.
No, they. Think that he's gonna throw her in the lake and then he doesn't, right?
Like, but I think it's this like close. Fear?
It was real
close. This close.
But I think that was a little girl, and these are little dirty boys.
Evil boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're tearing them.
I think it's kind of smash. I think this might be the quickest fight.
Yeah, I don't think they stand a chance. And I think that they're happy that it's just over.
Yeah, they don't care at all.
I think they're happy that
they don't even know what life is.
They finally get to die, and it's a kind of in a cool way.
Yeah, and they don't get to burn and suffocate.
Yeah, I think this is much better for them.
Yeah.
Being killed by Frankenstein's monster for a little boy.
Beating to death in a super?
That's like the big. The only bigger is being stolen by Santa Claus.
That's
the only thing I can see is a bigger, funner thing for a little boy to happen.
Fuck. So this is like, I don't know. I feel like this is just going to be an explosion of fight.
I mean, this is an incredible.
I would pay so much money to watch our finals live.
Yeah. Yep. And the finals, of course, are being held. It is 1985 Chicago Bears, defensive players only, versus two Frankensteins, and they are going to be fighting in Nuremberg!
Whoa!
The final fight takes place in the ultimate arena of justice, the hanging fields of Nuremberg.
Now, I will say, the bears, as much as I think the Frankensteins probably are going to take it, the bears just killed Nazis. So this kind of gives them a home field.
The 85 bears versus, this is by far the most even heat. This is, the Bears have been thinking about this, probably since the beginning of this, thinking about hope we get to fucking play against the Frankensteins. I'm certain that these were the other guys they were looking forward to seeing.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what I would say.
Hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh man, this is crazy.
We love these guys. Yeah. There's definitely, like, even, you know, these are handshakes before the fight.
Yeah, just been like, I'm sorry, it's us. I'm sorry, we got to do this again. Yeah, you're like, dude, man, but fucking good game. We'll see you out there, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, it's a big field. Yeah. And a big field is good for the Bears as well.
Do
the Bears know to set a series of fires?
I don't know if they do. I don't think they read. And especially a book written by a little girl.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But even the movies.
Mary Shelley.
You know, the 85 bears at this point at least know Frankenstein says fire bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah, that's the only thing we know he says.
We know that they probably know that Frankenstein goes, ah, fire bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, you know what it is? I think what's going to be the downfall for the bears here against the Frankenstein's monsters is that I don't think the Frankenstein's monsters have to worry about endurance.
No.
I think that they just keep going and going and going. And the bears don't have any weapons.
Yeah.
And they can't disassemble these bodies. I don't think they have a chance, unfortunately.
So let's say they get into hand-to-hand combat one by one.
Yeah.
So they all have to get into full-on knuckle-dragon fight. One by one, just like, because bare knuckle fighting.
Well, they're tackling and shit. They're going to hit them. You know, they got the football pads on.
Yes, but like, what's the end result? Like, at the very, very end.
The very end, it's going to be Boris Karloff versus Richard Dent.
Most likely.
And then, of course, the Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein versus Mike Singletary.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big final fight. And I think the Bears are going to put up a real good fight.
That's
a very,
hard,
very, very good fight.
I just don't think the Frankensteins ever stop.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
Beat Mike Singletary.
I think we're going to have to say
I could phone a friend or something. I wish that I could call an expert or something.
Think about this, though. The 85 Bears, take away any rules. Take away not being able to chop block, not being able to go for the knees.
They don't got
to
worry about ad deals.
I mean, I think that they could take out the knees. And if you take out the knees on a Frankenstein,
then he'll just be on the ground and fucking rip your arms off.
They aren't a film.
One thing as a big man who got into a lot of fights when I was a kid, what I would do whenever I fought a smaller person is grab them and bring them to the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you...
Yeah, you
destroy them on the ground.
No.
You know, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to try and dogpile them, and then they're just going to fucking win in the pile. And I don't want them to.
Yeah.
I want the Bears to win.
I want the
Bears to win, but I don't see it happening.
I mean, the problem is that in order for them to win, I think that Frankenstein's monsters have to be entirely destroyed, right? So they have to be set on fire. Exploded?
Yeah, their arms and legs have to be ripped off.
Does the field of Nuremberg, they wouldn't have landmines around anywhere, right?
No. Just rope. And gallows. And I don't even think you can hang a Frankenstein.
I don't think it would matter.
His
head just pops off.
Yeah.
They pop it right back on.
I think we have a winner.
Jesus Christ. I've never been so sad.
It's the Frankensteins, and they take it over the 85 Bears.
This is worse than when the Xenomorphs beat Godzilla.
We're going to get so much mail on this. I feel like this is truly debatable. Sidestorieshelpotl@gmail.com. Tell us what you think, because obviously there's going to be a lot of debate. People, you're going to fight this no matter what. In the end, that's why we do this.
Yeah.
This is to start important conversations.
Absolutely.
So I feel like this is one of those where tell me why you think the 85 Bears wouldn't be able to take out two Frankenstein's monsters.
885 Bears, by the way.
Yeah.
No,
defense.
No parry.
And they do have Richard Dent and Mike Singletary, but I don't think it's going to matter.
I honestly think that this is one of the most even entire competitions.
It's gonna be a long fight.
It's all day.
I could see it being at least an hour.
Oh, dude, no, fight. I'm watching this.
Yeah, the fight's gonna be, but eventually the Bears will get tired.
Yeah.
And I just don't think the Frankensteins have exhaustion.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that they do. Especially if there's a storm.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That is the March Madness for this year.
Wow.
And the fields of Nuremberg are going wild. The ticker tape is going on. And tell me, Frankenstein's monster, how do you feel?
Ice cream.
We'll get you some ice cream. Don't you worry about that. We'll get you some fire. Let's stop the fireworks. We're scaring our winners. Everybody stop the pyro.
Wow, what an absolutely amazing March Madness. Completely correct.
Yeah.
Every single thing that we said was correct. Every call that we made was right.
Yep.
And we hope that everybody enjoyed it.
The Epstein crew getting beaten to death by the people of Austin is one of my favorite things.
And don't forget CC DeVille stabbing Woody Allen in the kidneys.
Oh, God, I want to see it. Can he really do it?
Oh, maybe.
Yes, my kidneys.
Can he really do it?
Yeah.
Do you think that if we kill Soon Yi, Woody Allen dies? You think that what happens? We just get to her. She'll die.
Oh, yeah.
CC DeVille.
Yeah.
What a fucking absolutely talentless person.
Yep.
That's a great riff.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Yeah. Poison's not my favorite of this genre.
I hate the genre.
Guns N' Roses transcends the genre.
Yes. Easily. Sure. But honestly, out of and this might be sacrilege, people are probably gonna hate this. I like Poison better than Motley Crue.
Definitely. That's true. I hate Motley Crue.
Motley Crue sucks.
I actively dislike Motley Crue. I choose Def Leppard.
If I had to pick one, I think I'd go Skid Row.
Okay. Skid Row's pretty good.
He's got the best voice out of all of them.
Yeah. But I'm still not picking them because I don't like them. I'd rather listen to nothing.
Don't have to. But you don't have to listen to nothing if you go to patreon.com/podcast on the left and you can give us money to listen to our shows ad-free. You can also see Last Stream on the Left live, 5 p.m. PST every Tuesday.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at LP on the Left for clips for the shows and just new stuff that we got coming up.
Got YouTube. Go check it out someplace underneath LP and Romantasy. The Foreign Report, No Dogs in Space is coming back with a new video essay soon. LPN TV is also on there. Go check it out over on YouTube.
That's right. And come see us live on the road. April 25th, we're going to be in Cincinnati, dude. I'm coming to you, fuckers. I love you, Cincinnati. I'm so excited to play the Taft Theater, named after our fattest president. I can't wait to eat your chili and see my family. Come make me look good in front of my mother-in-law. Cincinnati, Taft Theater, April 25th, May 29th, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Carnegie Music Hall of Oakland. Saturday, June 27th, Grand Rapids, Michigan, GLC Live at 20 Monroe. July 17th, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kane's Ballroom, and July 18th, Oklahoma City at the Tower Theater. And of course, you can see me next Friday, April 3rd, Good Friday, at the Lyric Hyperion here in LA with Amber Nelson. Gonna be a fucking hoot and a half. Tickets for that are available on AnnieTunes.com.
Fuck yeah, bro! Hail, sweet Satan.
Oh, yeah, Gene.
We'll see you next week.
Hail, Frankenstein's monster.
Hail, Frankenstein's monster.
Winning good.